Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the C3 SYD podcast. I'm your host, Jackson, and I'm joined here today by a very special guest, Emmanuel Hastings. He's going to be joining me in today's episode talking about extreme society in our Table Talk series. So let's get into it. So welcome to the podcast, Manny.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. Hey, Everybody that doesn't know who you are or a bit about you, love to ask, what's a typical day in the life of Emmanuel Hastings?
Typical day. Usually being woken up very early by my four-year-old or one-year-old. So I'm a husband, father of two beautiful young boys, living on the northern beaches of Sydney. For my job, though, I work as a case manager for homeless people. So I work at a local shelter here and try and help people who are in need of housing, trying to get that housing and navigate that kind of space. Got a history of ministry, been working in churches around the world, which is wonderful as a pastor. So kind of very, very much a people-focused jobs, people-focused roles.
And you've been writing part of this series on extreme societies.
Right.
What has been, you know, I guess in society today, we talk about the extremes, everything's quite polarized, right? Like politics are very polarized, far right, far left. But also we're seeing things that are just popping up now that are so binary, almost like everything has is placing people in boxes or placing people in extreme camps, and there's no room for like a nuance. There's no room for a gray area. What do you think has been one of the things that has kind of contributed to our society to get like this?
Yeah, I think you're spot on in terms of that assessment. I think nuance is definitely lost in today. I tend to feel as though there's a big input by social media over the past probably 10, 15 years in terms of driving the wedge between some of these issues and eliminating that nuance. You know, there is a currency of outrage that's out there, and outrage equals attention, and attention equals advertising dollars and revenue on pages. And I do think, you know, if we were to take a step back, for sure the sentiment or feeling of outrage or being in different camps has always existed in the human experience. But it's probably that polarization is being enhanced, I'd say, by just how digital these online spaces are, and how easy it is to kind of pin people into different camps online and social media.
And also because a lot of these conversations are held in that space.
Right,
exactly. We're finding there's more keyboard warriors than ever. people have disconnected from the person they're actually having the conversation
It's so true. It's deeper. It's dehumanizing. It's like it takes away that. When you're face-to-face having a conversation like we're doing now, it's very different. Than whether, you know, you're in a forum or something like that, or my post, and, you know, getting all of your aggression or outrage out in a particular thing. So, and also we see as well that there's these kind of echo chambers that can form online, where, you know, your own position can easily be kind of led into an echo chamber where you're only seeking out information to validate what your perspective is. And then all of a sudden you get ingrained in that thought. And then that just that kind of inflames the tensions, doesn't it? Social media is a wonderful tool. This isn't a talk to kind of, you know, say we need to get rid of social media at all. It's more just, I do think that's a really big key characteristic of how we've become so extreme as in society, you know?
Yeah. And taking a step back from that, observing that and just even knowing that that's happening. I've even found for myself in algorithms of the content that I watch, it serves up more of that. So it's kind of forcing me down rabbit holes that I'm kind of blindly navigating. And that's forcing into those more extreme sides or those extreme things because it's such polarized content.
Yeah.
Maybe our thoughts and feelings about things aren't actually as outrageous as this content is. What would you say is like a good way to kind of like step back from that and just kind of look at what are we doing? What are we saying? Like for me, critical thinking needs to kind of jump into what we're looking at and be like, is this source or is this position the hill that I want to die on?
Right.
What do you think of that?
Oh, it's a good question. I do think probably just recognizing that there is, you know, a training of your mind, a training of your emotions through these, you know, through media, through culture, you know, scripture, Bible talks about like, you know, us living in, I guess, a tense world, a world of tension.
Yeah.
It's not a static environment. Yes. We are either being discipled by the culture around us, or we are allowing ourselves to be discipled by, you know, by in our case, the scriptures, by the Lord, you know, by God. So if we're not conscious to really change our input and be aware of that input, it's going to be very hard to kind of engage culture at a higher level. And so I think first and foremost, it's just recognizing that there is a tension. That's a huge thing. And then that gives you, I guess, that perspective to take a step back from whatever it is that you're reading and kind of go, oh, hold on a second. Well, where might that be coming from? You know, and what is that person really trying to say behind that thing? Or where does this position stem from? You know? And why is it causing such a stir in my heart? You know, why is it captivating my mind? Why am I getting so enveloped and caught up in this? And just having a bit of self-awareness to take a step back and kind of look at it from a different perspective is probably the first big step, I'd say.
No, that's good. I think what comes to mind is the saying, you are what you eat. We're consuming so much types of content out there. You know, you can start to understand the idea of seeing things as like healthy things and unhealthy things. And I think not to say that extreme views are unhealthy, but I think if you haven't kind of chewed through what that view is, sometimes it can actually, you know, form a unhealthy view of something.
Yes.
You mentioned just before about the biblical view of like how to kind of navigate this. I want to just unpack that a little bit more.
Cool.
What are your thoughts on the biblical view to these extremes?
Yeah, well, I think there's a higher way of engaging with culture as a believer, as a Christian. The biblical view would say that, you know, where there is important topics and important things to wrestle with left and right and issues culturally, ultimately, as a believer, as a Christian, as someone who's put their faith in Christ, our hearts have to be in a higher place and we have to look at situations from a higher perspective. So a scripture that has really grounded me in this series as I've been preparing has just been in Colossians, and particularly Colossians 3. And really that passage talks about setting our hearts and our minds on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And I think, with cultural issues and cultural tensions, it's almost as if we're playing like kind of tug of war with people, and we're trying to pull people to our side, whether that's the left or to the right, or, you know, climate change is real, climate change is not, or, you know, we don't have time to go through every single hot button issue, but you know what I mean? But what I'm saying is there's this kind of tug of war, and we get so exhausted trying to pull other people to the other side.
Yes.
When really, we've got to go up.
Yeah.
We've got to look up. It's not about pulling somebody over to your side. It's about looking to Christ and actually pulling them higher to where you're really seated. So, so separating the topic or the situation from the person is very important. And I think when we do that, we can actually pull them higher and actually go to understand that winning the argument is not going to, you know, it's not the most important thing. Winning the person's heart is the most important thing, isn't it? So listening, engaging, and ultimately lifting their heart and mind higher is important.
Yeah. I think that's a really good way to frame it. I think, we're almost in like a trench warfare for a lot of things.
Yeah,
like totally. It feels like there's hills that people are willing to die on.
Yeah.
But also like for people that are just stuck in that, like we talked about nuance and the gray kind of area where you haven't actually formed an opinion.
Yeah.
I think it's really good to be able to go, hey, like I'm not going to get stuck in this trench warfare of it because it's going to force me to go to a specific side. But what does that mean to kind of go up into a higher perspective?
Yeah, I think, again, it's really recognizing that behind every topic, it's people.
Yeah, wow.
Okay, so you've got to have that human, we talked about at the beginning of this kind of podcast, is you've got to not lose sight of the fact that there are people behind all these things and that person is valuable.
Yeah.
That's a person that Jesus went to the cross for, that he died for, that he rose again for. So no matter what comes out of their mouth or what perspective is shaping them that may be counter to what you're feeling or experiencing, there's an inherent value in that person.
Yeah.
And so that has to be the highest drive by which we engage and talk to this person.
Wow.
You know, Scripture says, you know, Jesus says, you know, you're a city on a hill, you know, you're a light that needs to be put on a stand and shine. So the Christian experience is about standing out. So it's about being distinct, right?
Yeah, right.
But we're not to be distinct at the point of detachment from culture.
Yes.
Where we just, you know, are we all supposed to just run to the mountains and become monks? No, probably be good. We'll probably get rid of the phones and probably feel a lot better. But that's not maybe for some, that's what people they're called to. But generally speaking, we're supposed to be in culture.
Yes.
Engage with culture, but not be shaped and enveloped by the culture. Yeah. And so, to answer your question, I do think just keeping that personal touch, knowing that like the relationship is more important than the winning the argument.
Oh, yeah.
And also there are certain timings for things, you know. So over time you might find people, like my positions on certain things have changed over the course of my life.
Yes.
If I'm being honest, I think we all feel that, right?
Yeah.
So having a conversation with someone about a particular issue, they may feel very strongly about it now, but in 5-10 years from now, maybe they'll change. But the most important thing is that you were patient and you loved them as a person. You went on a journey with them as a person throughout that time anyway. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so definitely.
I think it's just a bigger perspective. Don't get caught in the hot button issues because they'll envelop and trap your heart.
Yeah. I feel even for myself personally, my personality is, usually driven to have seen something and be right or correct.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to feel like, I've done the research. Yeah. I know what's right. And, these extreme things that we talked about, like even climate change, politics, we're only seeing one side of the fence.
Yeah.
And I think that's really brilliant how you phrase it, of just coming higher.
Yeah.
Because then you can see what's happening on both sides.
Yeah.
Empathy.
Yes.
This, I think, is one of the things that I need to learn to get better at, because I think I've had conversations with one of our good friends once was, I didn't even have a formed opinion and he was sitting on an extreme side of the fence, and I just used logical fallacies to just try and kind of pull apart and just cause an argument. And I realized at the end, I was like, oh God, this friend actually doesn't want to engage with me in conversation anymore, because like it wasn't a hill that I was willing to die on, but I was feeding the extremism, pushing buttons.
Yeah.
Say we're at like a Christmas party or at the family dinner table and we've got someone there that has a strong view.
Yeah.
How would you say like some practical things to kind of navigate that conversation when something like, you know, global warming comes up or a political view comes up? How do you how would you navigate that?
Yeah, well, again, that Colossians passage talks about, you know, clothing ourselves with the character of Christ. So it's a very empowering scripture, because it really talks about like that we have agency. We don't life doesn't just have to happen to us, but we actually can happen to life.
Wow.
And we can actually take control of our emotions and our thoughts and our minds. And so I would say if you're at a table, and we've all been there where you're at a table, a lunch or whatever, a friend, a family member, somebody said something and you can kind of feel the tension rise up, because
ping.
It's because we've been trained to feel and recognize that, I guess, by culture. I would just listen and just, again, just try and separate that person or hear what they're saying through what they're saying.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's okay to listen to other perspectives.
Yeah.
I know this is a radical thought, but it's okay to have your mind and your ears hear a different perspective.
Yeah.
Listening to something does not mean that you have to agree to it fully. You're not conceding I think we just get so caught up in battles that are just so ultimately irrelevant, and we miss the people that Christ has actually died for. Practically speaking, if someone's bringing just listening and go, okay, but what about this perspective? And you know, and maybe they want to be a bit more combative and just go, okay, well maybe now is not the time to have that conversation, but hey, I'd love to talk to you about this another time. Or could you maybe show me some of the places where that's shaping that perspective? I'd love to hear more. Like, I'm a genuine seeker of information and news, and I'm happy to have this dialogue at a later date or another time, or when there's a bit more of civility or calmness, or we can actually engage. It's not a big deal. But just don't lose that relationship. I wouldn't go so heavy handed and go, no, you're wrong, and this is why, and 5 points. And
I once heard, the brain has an inability to be curious and judgmental at the same time. So it sits in each camp. And I've been trying to, you know, retrain my brain into thinking, well, let's be curious about this rather than bringing in a judgment. We often, when we're talking in a dialogue, we're thinking about what am I going to say next?
yeah, exactly.
Rather than hearing.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the first steps to even being curious, is to be able to open your ears to hear, so that that people don't feel like, oh well, this person's just got it. It's not a debate.
No,
I feel like that's the only way we can have conversations now, without And it has no room for nuance. It's no. just, it becomes that binary.
Yeah.
So I think that's really cool to see that the person,
yeah.
see the person and not the argument exactly. or not that heated or extreme part of society.
Exactly. James says everyone should be slow to speak, quick to listen. Sorry, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry.
Wow.
And there's yeah. a reason why you got two ears and one mouth, right? So I think that does
yep.
that does hold true.
Yeah.
And you read the book of Acts, Paul the Apostle, who's amazing, goes and he engages with culture. He goes into the heart of places, into the town square, the forums, and engages with people who are really, you know, throwing out Greek philosophies and wisdom and this yeah. thing and that thing. So we should never, ever be scared of it, but also just doing it from a Christ-like perspective, which yeah. is to show Christ's character, to yes. show his love, to show his gentleness. Jesus walked this earth and his disciples were people from all types of life. He had zealots were part of his disciples. He also had tax collectors who were,
yeah.
you know, totally antithetical to that, you know, Jewish zealotry. So he was somehow able to bring together people from high society, from low society, people who were had you know, rich backgrounds, poor backgrounds. He kind of brought everybody together and took them on this human experience, an elevated experience.
Yep.
And it's an experience where they for sure there was debate, for sure there was tension, for sure there were times where he rebuked them. But it was always from a place of love, and it was to take the perspective higher. And that's what we need to carry into our world, because that in an age where everybody is trying to be outrageous and pull people into certain times, the church has a really big mandate and a really clear and distinct mandate to not get caught up in the culture war.
Yes.
To be in the culture, to engage in the culture, but not get caught up in that war and actually win the person, not just the argument.
Yeah. Comes to mind is, be in the world, but not of it.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a good takeaway for people to just understand that, hey, look, it's actually okay to not have that. You don't have to sit in those camps. You don't have to have those big opinions, but be in that, but not of it.
Yeah.
And I guess just reflect, you know, the love of God, see people for people.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, it's amazing, like in this, it's almost like we're living in the snapback of culture, because you've got this outrage culture, but you know, longer form conversations and podcasts are taking off. And you know why? It's because that nuance has been lost in culture. And I do think people do value that slow discussion, that talk, that conversation that people have, you know? And so it's funny how culture's kind of remedying itself a little bit.
Yeah.
And we can just play it. We can play a part there. So I think you've nailed it on the head. So yeah.
Yeah, no, that's great. Guys, look, I think that's all we got time for here today. Thanks, Manny, for coming in and being on the podcast. It's been great to unpack, you know, just a snippet of what we've been talking about in this series and on extreme culture, extreme sides of society. Guys, I want to, you know, if this has sparked any level of curiosity, maybe you want to dive a little bit deeper. We're actually in a series right now at the moment unpacking Table Talk, talking about these topics that you don't really want to bring to the table. I want to invite you guys to come along to one of our Sunday services where we're unpacking this a little bit more. So head to c3syd.church to find a location near you, and would love to see you in person as we journey through these Table Talk topics. Thanks for coming on and joining us today. We'll see you soon.
See you soon. Thanks.